This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
The economy is on the upturn if you're privileged and white.
Well, I mean, the same old, same old.
Yeah.
Kia ora and welcome to Free Left Turn or Left Wing Perspective here on 89.0.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Mick.
Good morning. Good morning. Top of the morning.
Good morning, Fred.
I don't want to jinx it, but this is, could be the fourth day in a row we've had no rain.
That's right.
And sunshine and heat.
Mm.
Loving it.
It's quite unusual. You can stand up. Bowing into the wind.
You don't have to scoop because the dust flying.
If it was that windy when I was down at Taumarunui with my dog Ruby, she was standing looking at me, and she's got sort of floppy ears, and they were up like the flying nun. It looked so funny,
It's nice to have a bit of a reprieve.
Yeah, get some summer.
Oh yeah.
I've put in for my annual leave. The last 2 weeks of February, I'm hoping they're fine.
Okay.
I think February you're usually pretty safe. Past experience, January is usually a washout. Yeah. February, March, but beginning of April.
I hate to remind you, gentlemen, but the 1 in 100 year bad weather events. Now, how many a year?
How many a week?
Yeah.
That's rather hackneyed, isn't it?
Yeah, that's gone. That's gone.
Okay. Margaret and I went to Work at Income to hand some paperwork. Just sort of the final part of the...
Oh, this is the applying for...
New Zealand Super application.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Margaret doesn't look that old.
I bloody do.
See, just in case she makes me a cake.
Yeah. Had to stand in a bloody long line.
Did you?
Was it busy?
Yeah, this is in town.
Okay.
Kitty Raw.
Okay.
Yeah. I did mine, I did it all online.
You can do, but then because
you're working, it's a bit more complex.
Complication.
Yeah, so we had to provide docos, your license and stuff like that.
But isn't it good? You just hand them over, they take a copy of them and they give you everything back. You don't have to provide
copies. They just scan them.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it was the person that we saw, somebody that I know from... we've dealt with through the housing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jess is her name. She did a job.
So once you got to being served, how long did it take the process?
Well, I had to scan a few documents.
So you're talking about half an hour?
So no, where's Margaret? Were you taking Margaret for her birthday?
He's
having a brain freeze.
Old age, cognitive deficiency. No, the girls, when Nicola was home, wanted to look at a place out at Fota Fota.
Yeah.
There's a place out there. I don't know the place, but we could actually try that. I said, well, I don't know it, so Margaret will have to do a little bit more investigation.
Or
possibly try the old, what was St. Paul's Methodist Church, which is now a cafe Tikowhai.
Okay. Yeah, there's quite cafes everywhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been to a cafe in Pahrongi, isn't it? On the opposite side of the road to the pub and all that. And that was quite nice, there's parking and all that.
It was amazing, the number of cafes around the place. It's
we better be careful, we're starting to sound like capitalists.
Yeah, so I think we're
giving recommendations.
I'm just noticed proliferation of cafes, tea shops,
everywhere. Yes, yes, but not the proliferation of post. Post offices?
Yeah, they've been. Yeah, a few of them more been knocked off the perch.
It's funny. I was talking to someone on Tuesday, and they said that the one near in Hamilton East, where, near where I go meet coffee with one of my guys I visit,
the one I've been in.
They was talking about going. They said, "You're joking."
Yeah. It's not, is it?
No, apparently it's got a. I think it's a reprieve.
Yeah,
it'll come up again. But I said, "But what happened?" I immediately thought, "Well, we've got an election coming up this year."
Yeah.
How are you supposed to post your ballot papers if you can't find
it? It's not postal for a general election.
Is it going to be electronic?
No, it's just ordinary polls.
Just in the polling station?
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting mixed up with local election when you get ballot paper. But even so, there are some people do rely on the and I can understand why.
Lots of people post
from a business point of view, because the amount of mail has dropped markedly, but there are still people that rely
on mail.
Going to a counter, buying a stamp, whatever, and, you know.
If you can afford a stamp, shit, the dear.
Expensive,
yeah.
Eh?
Cheese, yeah.
So, yeah, that's
still
going.
People go, I mean, I go into that bin in, and the queue for that, the post office agency is usually quite busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit like that with the one in Dimmesdale.
Well, that's what the worry is, of course. They drop them down and say, oh, that's not the need, da-da-da. But then all it does is those people have to drive from wherever they are, because their post office is shut, to one where there is one open.
If they can find one.
Yeah.
I think they're knocking them on the head in the cities. I think the ones in the more rural areas have been kind of protected.
Shut some of them, I think.
Because if you're in a rural area, you're really dependent on the
post.
But I suppose...
deliveries, you know, all sorts of
things. They still have that rural post deliveries.
I actually saw a rural post office van the other day.
I
was really surprised.
I saw three going to Tauranga on Thursday.
Wow. I didn't think they existed anymore.
I know my sister drives one.
Let me think. They supply services to the rural community.
And
I'm implied here. You know, so that still goes.
Yeah. Rural covers a multitude of sins.
Where my sister is between Kaikohe and Whangarei, the Mangakahi Road. So there's not just privileged people there.
They still provide at this stage.
Because that would seriously impact on some of those small villages. Yeah.
You should be able to access them until if it gets to a stage where we no longer have physical mail.
Well, Denmark recently, late last year, postal service gone.
Heard about that.
I think they said that the postal service existed for 400 years. I can't believe 400 years, maybe 200, but
could possibly be.
But it's gone.
Well, let's face it, how many letters? How many letters have I written to anyone recently?
I haven't written for years.
I've sent a couple of Christmas cards, and that was it.
Yeah, and how many Christmas cards did I get? Okay, I got no friends, so
change it over to Nigel.
I wrote three to myself and put them on the mantelpiece to look like at least I had something. Yeah.
You'd have to change your name. You'd have to change your name to Nigel.
Do the impact on people? I can understand why, from a business point of view. Yes, postal services demand has dropped markedly.
Well,
there's still some people, older generation, who rely on
pay your rego and things like that.
Rates.
I still get my cash from the post office, you know, from up at Hillcrest. And stuff like that.
Because we heard today, what was it this week, that the power went down in certain medical places? And I don't know where this was.
Okay.
Medical
places. Oh, and the hospital. IT didn't work.
Yeah, something didn't work. They had to rely on pen and paper.
This is
the issue. Yeah.
They were talking about this last year because the same thing happened then. Yeah. Commuters went down and they'd rely on chalkboards, whiteboards with felt-tip pens or pen and paper.
Yeah. Well, soon people won't know how to write. We'll be gone. But, you know, how will the young ones know how to write if they just use phones and keyboards?
And what happens when the great electronic or electromagnetic pulse hits and the system goes down?
Yeah.
Crunch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a form of military attack, too.
Let's face it, if there is a scrap and all that, what are they trying to do? They're trying to stuff up all your electronics, etc. It causes mayhem.
It's perfect for surveillance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. More people rely on those electronic devices, the more possibility of being hacked into.
Well, you imagine now we're a cashless, virtually cashless society. If we did have a scrap with America or Israel, then, you know, the first thing they go for is your electronic systems.
Your infrastructure.
Yeah.
So all comes to a halt.
Well, I mean, if they can get into it.
Mm-hmm. I think they were talking about this on Have I Got News for like last year, I think. Cash was king.
Yeah.
Because the system went down.
Yeah.
In the, I think, the UK.
And
candles to the next bit. Yeah. High demand for candles.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. What about batteries or torches?
Or wind-up radios.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect name for a right-wing station, right, wind-up.
Yeah,
this total alliance, it's got an Achilles heel. It's great whenever it works, but you get... Look at the episodes they had last year with airports shut down because someone got into the system, bump, everything just grinds to a halt.
Yeah, we had that problem at work. And this is only small scale. Somebody cut the optic fibre.
Well, that happens,
But when it works, it's amazing.
Yes, but you get a glitch and it's a nightmare.
Yeah. So this is so quick. Yeah, the internet banking, done.
Mm-hmm. Boom.
Get my passport, boom, 4 days, boom. Done, you know. But if something goes wrong, then what?
Nothing happens.
Yeah.
Nothing. You can't buy gasoline, you can't buy food.
But you're dead right. There's still a sector in society that, A, they're old, or B, they don't have access to technology, or probably even C, they don't have the abilities to use it.
You can take it even further, because in the UK they were talking about this ID thing.
Yeah.
The ID card, it's going to be electronic. I think 30% of the population, maybe a bit less, were over the age of 70, did not have a mobile phone, did not have access to internet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what happens? You can't leave it.
Well,
here.
My mum can't see her phone. She's got one, but the kid, my brother and sister, operated for.
Yeah. So people like that will be totally relying on someone helping them out.
Yeah. Well, they use Siri. You know, Siri the AI thing.
If the damn thing can understand your accent.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. No, it's an interesting world. You know, it's not boring. Yeah.
No, certainly not boring.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I see Trump's trumpeting about sending an armada over to Iran unless they pull their head in.
Yeah.
He's ratcheting things up.
Now, tell me, is Trump flying the American flag or the Israeli flag when he does this?
I think
probably both.
Both.
Yeah. And the Israeli flag will be on top, no doubt. You know? Yeah.
Well, I can't see Trump being happy with that. He likes to be on top.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's true. Have you asked Melania?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Trump, the king, you mean the king of nothing?
The new Messiah.
The emperor of no clothes.
Anyway.
Isn't it sad that we've gone back to this? Well, it's always been there, but the veneer is off and it's just straight power and might.
Might is right.
Yeah, might is right, you know.
Apparently.
Bullying is okay, you know.
So it's back to the old business as usual.
Yeah, so then we say to people, well, no, don't bully, you know, Benny, don't bully Mary. And then what do? The leader of the world is just acting like a bully.
Yeah.
Is being a bully, not just acting like
a 3-year-old with a hat.
Yeah.
He's been described as.
Yeah.
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 To other countries, to his own people, yeah. 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 Yeah.
So what do you guys got?
Yeah, I've got 2, 3, 4.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Bipartisanship.
Okay.
In relation to
the modern slavery and work exploitation bill.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, I read about it this morning.
Was this
New Zealand?
Yeah.
Yeah, New Zealand. It was got it through with a bipartisanship between National and Labour.
They haven't. Labour is still reading the fine. Oh no, not Labour. Labour's sort of agreeing to it. ACT's reading the fine print. And I did agree with them. It's about companies with a certain turnover. It doesn't apply.
Staff.
Yeah, or money wise.
Money.
So does it apply to the person who's picking vegetables with five, and he's got five people working for him? You know, if it's not going to get everyone, then sure, companies.
So it's not clear who the targets are.
Well, the bill is targeting the high turnover places that I read. But what about the individual who just got two people working for him and pays them cash?
Mm. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Or gives them accommodation and food and halts their passport, which is that's modern day slavery, isn't it?
Well, they estimated it's between 20 and a million people could be classified as slaves today.
And
it's varying degrees of how you measure
around the world.
The world.
Yeah.
And there's various definitions of slave, of course. It's just exploited or just out and out slave. Somewhere between 20 to 40 million.
Well, we went navvies.
In the 21st century.
Navvies were a type of slavery.
Yeah, well, indentured labour.
You
just got your food.
Indians were sent to Fiji or other places, indentured labour. Yeah.
So you were fed and sheltered in return for work. That was it. So
and then, some places where you work for a company and you bought the tools from the company, you bought your food from the company store, that's slavery.
Yeah, yeah.
In the old mines in America.
Yeah.
And hence the old phrase about the company store and the company town.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So well, that's what happens going on.
That happened here to Māori. They go to the shop to buy supplies, put it on the tab, and then, of course, the only thing you can sell is land. Yeah.
Mm. So modern slavery and worker exploitation bill.
Yeah.
So you say tentatively Labor's supporting this? Or?
Yeah, supporting it.
But I say, that's what I find, it needs to cover everyone, not have a cut-off. Because I imagine there's far more exploitation on those little, when someone's just got a few people working in a house.
It's interesting that two parties have come together on this, though.
Yeah, which is good.
Over that sort of exploitation word, because that's a multitude of sins, that word. Yeah.
Well, it is, and then you get into workers' rights and all that. You know, where do you draw
veritable
the line?
You need to really seriously look at why is ACT not supporting it.
Well, she reckons she's too busy.
Does that kind of smell of supporting slavery in the workplace?
She just said, I'm doing my other portfolio stuff, and it was in the paper that
she shouldn't have too many portfolios, and that's the whole point. One, people have multiple portfolios, and they can't do the job because they're too busy. Then they need
she was quite
busy. The workload.
Yeah, well, she was busy.
What's her name? What's the excellent?
Jack Boots Van Belden.
Yeah.
Oh, her.
Yes.
She was wasn't under her that the woman's equal. Equity
That's
stuff
right.
went.
Same,
so she was busy for that.
Same individual. Yeah.
Yeah. And she used the C word in Parliament.
Yeah.
And never got hauled over the coals.
Judith Collins.
Oh. No, that's a different word. But that word also describes a multitude of sins.
I never understood why people have so multiple portfolios and they're too busy to do the job. And how can you divide your attention to all these different things which should be important?
Yeah.
Treated importantly.
Yeah.
Why don't they spread the workload out?
Well, I suppose it goes back. Oh, well, they just traditional more than anything else.
That's still no defence.
No, it's no defence. No.
Don't they have associates?
Well, they do have associate ministers.
Share the workload.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
So that seems a cop out. That too busy.
The bipartisanship word was actually that's good to hear.
It is. Yeah.
But
yeah.
We should say it should be used more often.
Well, health, education,
pensions,
infrastructure,
migration. You know, we should all be trying to sit down and work it out.
On this occasion, you think you should better do it on other occasions on stuff that really, really matters.
Yeah. Indeed.
Yeah. My next point, and I think it sort of feeds on from what you said when we didn't talk about last week, Fred, about marais.
Yeah.
And being places where people can go during civil events and something like that. But there was an interesting one involving a marai from the Hawke's Bay.
Yeah.
And it was to do with a meeting, and a Hawke's Bay councillor refused to go there. And his rationale was it's not a neutral place.
Hmm. Okay. What was it about? Council.
It was council meeting being held on a marae.
Just to share the love, sort of thing.
Kind of sounds like it. But he said, "No, I won't go there. Yeah. Not a neutral place.
It's like the rugby play. You know, they move the rugby games around. You know, they don't always have them in the same place.
Share the love.
Yeah.
A bit suspicious.
I think it sounded kind of racist. As well.
We could read that.
Yeah, and let's face it, if he's a councillor, he's probably getting mileage to wherever the marae is.
Yeah, whatever.
And if it's about council business, I can't see what the problem is.
It's just showing. And isn't that, you're trying to, let's face
encourage
it,
people to
democracy, inclusive. And Māori have got shocking rates of voter participation.
So it's a way of including
them. Of course it is. This is how it works.
He's obviously not interested, this guy.
No. But it raises the important thing about how important marae are.
Mm. Well, going back to the disasters, the weather events
last week. Because they can use Moraine's in a civil defence situation, but not for local council.
But it's a little bit different than that. Moraine came out and are able, let's face it, most Moraine are
well organised.
Know how to feed a group of people.
They're well organised.
And for tangi and all that. And they'll have a couple of aunties in the kitchen and someone else who, and yep, we need, this is what we need to do. They've done it before. And they can call on their kinship and go, look, Mary, we need three people here. Can someone come and peel the, someone pick up potatoes, someone get the pumpkins? They have a far connectivity, a network. And it's in that kotahi tanga, driven by manaaki tanga and aroha, you know. So it's but, yeah, it doesn't get enough. There's a lot of what you call Maori bashing all the time. But here it was, who came to the party up in, up north and down the Hawke's Bay, Te Araroa, who was there saying, look, if you're stuck, come down to the marae and we'll
feed you, there's a bed, shelter.
So it is a credit to them.
I just don't see this guy's problem.
No, I don't see the problem. I've stayed on a marae at Rafferty.
So a couple of times. Were the people at the marae there to witness the meeting, or were they there to participate in the meeting?
I think it was just a venue for a meeting.
Just a venue. Well, what's the problem?
He may be one of those.
They could have gone to the marae and they could have found another local village hall somewhere to do the same sort of thing.
But
I see the problem.
I guess that council thing is different to what Craig's talking about, is the aroha and the, and the help that marae in times of emergency give out.
I just mean physically, what's the problem using marae on one occasion, use another community hall on another occasion? What's the problem?
Yeah, well, they used the one over in Hamilton East for, or they did for council, you know, how they, when a new council's been voted in.
Yeah.
And that, those sort of
Those satellite.
Especially when you think about it, like I'm thinking of from up north, my time's up north, it was quite a hike. Like I lived in Ohio and then Paihia, but to drive over to Kaikai was 45, 50 minutes drive, you know, so. Having people say, oh, you come and see what the council does in Kaikoui, was out of the means of a lot of people. And vice versa, it's the other way around. So I was all for, why don't they have a, you know, the councillors should move. There's only 10 of them, and they can share a car. Or they've got a big car anyway.
Bus.
That's a bit too belittling for them.
We'll call it a coach.
Yeah, a coach would be better. A limousine coach service.
There's a Marae Ohaiwai, Manukau.
In the north, there's still lots of Marae, you know.
The first story with cooperation between two political parties and the lack of cooperation in the second item we just brought up, over the councillor.
Just one person there.
The marked difference in attitude.
We
need more cooperation. I'm sorry if people don't like the C word, but we need more cooperation and collaboration.
I don't know. Go back to the story about the marae stepping up to help people. Kanuta mi kia rātou.
That's where the people at Aokura went to.
And they've done it. They often do it. You often have news events where they do about the local marae.
They just do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no debate. They just do it.
And maybe church groups would do if they was. But see, a lot of the rural churches no longer exist.
Then
you've got problems with different sects. Funny about that, eh?
Politics.
But, you know, rural churches have been on the decline.
Or they only help people from their own communities, not anyone from outside the community. That sort of narrow-minded, bigoted thinking.
But I say a lot of, you know, when I was young, you'd go to any village and there'd be a church or two or three. Whereas now you see them their ex-church is converted or whatever else. Yeah. That one still has a monthly service.
Marae's, churches, school halls, those sort of things. Yeah. But they're on the decline too, unfortunately.
So what else you got for us then, Craig?
One of our favourite subjects, the retirement of Judith Collins.
JC. I will pray for her. She actually hasn't retired. She's just
sidestepped into the president of the Law Society.
It's a non-paying voluntary job, I presume?
No.
Plus I'm just being so silly here.
And then she's got a parliamentary pension.
Yeah.
And how old is she?
Late 60s?
Yeah.
Yeah. And did she? Yeah, she's probably still selling milk bottles in China. What was she selling in China?
Oravida, was it? Oravida. Yeah. was it swamp cowrie here?
Or
was
she still trying to work out the price of cheese?
Yeah.
Or is she still in association with whale oil?
The biggest thing the biggest thing that embarrassed me about Judith Collins was when she was electioneering, and she went into the church.
Oh, that
with the TV cameras.
Oh, and she's being pious.
And she was praying, and I'm sorry, I was embarrassed, and I'm not Judith Collins, but it was so embarrassing.
That was vomit inducing.
This is what do you call it, milking your faith or whatever.
Photo opportunity.
Electioneering. Crass electioneering.
What I didn't like about her was when her and old whale scum got together and tried to do the dirty on Cameron Slater.
Whale blog.
Trying to do the dirty on what was it on the Auditor General. Mm. Trying to undermine that person, but I think that kind of failed. But the intent was to throw dirt around.
Yeah. Mm. So who's going to pick up the mantle of Attorney General and Ministry of Defence?
I suppose when's she resigning?
Probably coming in.
Credit to her that she's not doing a Simon Bridges and just.
I think she's
getting waiting, her. She's
getting inside.
They won't have to have a by election. Yes,
thank you, Ms. Collins.
Getting inside that 6 month period.
You just saved taxpayer.
Unlike Simon Bridges,
$250 grand or whatever it was.
Yeah,
he put his ego in front of his duties,
and he never paid it back. Yeah,
no. Hey, he already had it. He went to a bigger. More illustrious jobs.
Yeah, and he's still a pillock, to be frank. But she's waiting inside, waiting for that 6 month period out and going retirement in that period.
End of January now, so that'd be
probably somewhere
late July, early August.
June, July.
There's rules around it. They don't have to have a by election within so many.
And it's not going to change the outcome anyway, so you don't need to have a by election, right? It's not like the government.
The government's got a few seats spare. Yeah,
It's not going to bring the government down.
No.
Although more's a pity, but...
only a loss of confidence or something. Yeah.
I'm afraid I lost confidence in it when it came in.
Let's run through the things we liked about Judith Collins.
The tumbleweed.
Yes, I can see the colours. I can see that.
Okay, sorry, move on.
You do realise that the tumbleweed originated from Poland?
No.
Yes, no. From Poland. That's where it came from.
Oh.
In amongst cargo, you know.
Okay.
So you have to try and do the tumbleweed with a Polish accent.
With an accent.
I don't know how to do that.
I'd have to work on that.
Anyway, that's just an aside.
Okay.
Anyway, what else you got for us?
Yeah, and it sort of relates to the previous one, that, the killing of that... Greg Pretty, I think it was Greg Pretty.
That was disgusting.
The American protester.
And
it's the second one in a week. Don't forget the
he was a frontline nurse during COVID. He was a nurse for the American Veterans Association.
Yeah. And they spoke highly of him.
Yeah. Well, and what was the lady's name who was killed the week before? Good.
Yeah. Rachel Good.
So the same thing. They were out protesting and being active, and that's what they believed in.
But the reaction of ISIS over the top.
Yeah, do you deserve a bullet? Do you deserve to be murdered?
You've got 10 bullets.
Yeah.
He's on the ground, face down.
Yeah, and initially he went over there because they pushed a woman.
Yeah, so he had a camera in one hand, he was trying to help the woman up, and they barreled into him.
Yeah.
So it was disgusting. And they're busy being thrown, little Napoleon, as I call him, they've thrown him under the bus.
Yeah, and
the woman's at the turn.
That's why it's related to the previous article about Collins, because there's a picture of her and Noam. Taken together.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Christy Noam, American.
Another one. Another one who blamed the person who got killed as.
If you don't want to be killed, don't protest.
Making out the ICE were the victims.
They're not the damn victims.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. It's disgusting.
Now, here's one I talked about just before we came on here. It was about Don Lemon, who was quite a famous sort of media CNN. Personality. Was famous for CNN.
Yeah.
Then I think he got sacked from that. But he's been, he's a journalist, etc. and he got involved in a group of protesters went into a Minnesota church,
yeah,
where it's alleged that the minister was also a part-time ICE agent, or had something to do with ICE.
I can see a conflict.
Yeah. So, but what I want to know is, okay, they went in there and protested and disturbed the church session, etc. Okay, and he's been arrested for disturbing the people's right to pay.
Who arrested him?
Oh, which some federal agency or whatever.
It's been a bone of contention that ICE do not have the powers of arrest.
No, he wasn't arrested by ICE. He was arrested. He's just been arrested now. This was an event a week or so ago.
Police officer.
Yeah. But what I want... No. Okay, so is that... Have you the right to protest? Like the... You know, so the argument from the side is that, okay, they came in and they disturbed a bunch of people praying, you know, in a church service.
Overreaction. If he'd been asked to leave and then refused, then, okay, maybe you could argue that.
Yeah.
But you think, okay, look, no, please, Mr. Don, you know, can he just leave the church, whatever, and if he had complied...
Should a church be a sacred place, even if that church or that religion, whatever it is, whether church or mosque or synagogue or whatever, if they have been supporting, whether openly or silently, supporting things like genocides or...
See, the cynical may say that they will claim sanctity or when it suits them.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, then where's the difference? When a the guy was, the preacher was allegedly something to do with ICE. So the same thing. Where is it right and wrong that you can't protest against a church or a congregation? Do you know what I mean?
Because
if that church has been quiet, or that group, or like the guy, the rabbi in Sydney, you know, they said that he went over and had relationships with the IDF, not sexual, but that we know of.
Thank goodness. This is a family show.
You know what I mean? So he's been to Israel and supported the IDF, et cetera, and then come back. Now, okay, none of them deserve to be murdered for that. But where's the connection? Should you say, well, okay, it's a church or it's a synagogue or a mosque, we should say nothing? Is that right or wrong?
I mean, it's selective in the approach. If it hadn't been Don or whoever, and it had been someone that the priest approved of, it wouldn't have been an issue.
Well, and also...
Just because it just seems very selective, the church is sacred, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, or any religious place. It's sort of, if they're used to promote... Anything
that seems okay, but any dissent? Oh no, no, no!
Can't do
this. It's selective. I'm very suspicious.
I just thought, well, it's interesting.
We'll be interested to see if there's any development from this, because he's a high profile.
Oh, it's made journalist. And unlike lots of things in America, it's actually made the media.
Wow!
So that's how.
So it'll be interesting to see what the aftermath is.
Yeah.
How do you get a preacher that's also an ICE, works for ICE?
But then, unfortunately, I was talking to Craig about this. Unfortunately, the priesthood, whatever religion, do have a checkered record because, some priests helped the fascists in Europe.
And he might be a lay preacher, which, in other words, he's still got a job, you know, because you get it in the Anglican Church and all that. You can be you're not the reverend or whatever, but you can go in and be a lay preacher. So you've got a job and you go in and...
I'm even a bit suspicious about lay preachers too.
Yeah. So, and that may be what this guy was. Okay, his job was ICE, but he was also
a priest, lay preacher. Through history, priests have taken sides, political sides.
Even the Pope during the Second World War, Pius XII,
yeah. XIII? Yeah. So-called pious.
But isn't that the rub about war and hate and all that? You know,
religion
wars, both sides are getting blessed by priests or religious entities to go and do their darndest. Instead of going, actually... We're about love, humanity, all that. No, it's we bless you while you go and kill
them. That's exactly what happened with the first crusade, and I think it was Pope.
Oh, of course, Pope Crusades.
Pope Urban, whatever it was, blessed them before they left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So absolved of their sins, if they took part.
Go and kill Muslims.
Right. You'll get to heaven if you kill a few
infidels. Yeah, and they weren't all infidels either.
No, some Christians got killed.
Especially in the Fourth Crusade.
Yeah. So, you know,
anyway,
it's an interesting subject, the whole who's allowed in and what's fair and what's not fair.
I have to keep tabs on this, Don Lemon. What happens, if anything. Hopefully it's just a big hoo-ha and the whole thing will be dropped. It'll be... No,
yeah, I did try. I looked this morning. I looked at about seven articles trying to find
out more proportion to what actually.
I tried to find more about. They were so busy going on about Don Lemon and the protest. I tried to find. Okay, what's the background to this preacher? But I couldn't find it. Apart from they said he had an alleged ICE affiliation. Job or association or something. Yeah.
Part-time agent.
Double agent.
Yeah, there was also about the Minneapolis killing was there was a Zoom forum between Catholic bishops.
Right.
Yeah.
And they I listened to there was one from Occupied Democrats. I think he's Archbishop Torben, I think is the name, from Baltimore.
Right.
Highly critical of the Trump's regime and what they've been doing in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And there were three. They named the three of them, and he was one that whose discussion was aired. But there was two others involved. Yeah. Yeah, but we know the current Pope is highly critical of Trump, and we know that
and he's critical of Israel's actions against the Palestinian people too.
And his predecessor Francis was. He kind of, I think he sort of gritted his teeth when he met Vance. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Mm.
Yeah. Okay, he's another idiot.
I just find it, you know, that and don't mean to harp on it, but I will. You know, a few weeks ago, 1,000 church ministers from the US were invited to Israel, and
they gone? Just
kissed the. They went, yeah, of course they did. You know,
yeah.
And Tucker Carlson picked them up on it and said, good. "What are you doing there? What are you doing that for?" But see, they go back to their congregations.
I find it strange that Tucker Carlson is speaking out against.
It's really interesting because
his own background is a bit dubious. Well,
he said, I can't remember the years he said, but years ago I was the one, I was Israel's warrior sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, and Candace Owens the same. They were all in for Israel, poor Israelis, you know, so, yeah.
Is it fundamentalists that are we talking about here?
Because I think we're talking evangelical.
Oh, wow. Fundamentalist
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They haven't got a brain between them.
Yeah. Speaking on that, I was telling you guys before about White Man Walking.
Yes.
And it's a guy's name is Rob Bliss, and it was on Rialto, but you'd be able to, I imagine it's out there on YouTube or something, but I recommend it. And this is a guy, he's sort of a bit semi-famous for doing sort of stupid publicity stunts in America, like zombie walks and all sorts of things. But he decided to do something, and the film was from 2020. It was at the time of the Biden-Harris-Trump-Pence, was it, over the election?
Yeah.
You know, and Trump obviously, it was the one he lost. But he decided it was after the George Floyd killing and Rihanna Gray, was it? One of the women that was killed in a bed. Yeah, in her home.
Yeah.
So he decided, he's a white guy, and decided he'd walk across and film his walk across the southern states of America and ending up in Washington. Wow. Oh, my goodness. You sort of, you think, oh, surely Americans aren't really that crazy, but, oh, my God, the abuse he got and the threats and he got some accolades, but he said and he was very honest. You know, it was well done, a bit of documentary work. And people would come out and say, "Come over here, read the thing," and then they'd threaten him and got chased off a few sections, and it was pretty scary.
That same sort of behaviour here as well,
of course. And that's,
I think you two were saying that some woman who's an activist got.
Home got attacked and all that.
So the intolerance is on the increase.
Yeah.
John Minto's dinner box has been damaged.
Oh, his as well. Yeah. Just so that's intolerance. It can definitely happen here.
Some of the people saying that blacks don't work or something.
Oh, yeah, there was the racism in the deep south. They weren't hiding it.
These all red faced, fat, overweight
men.
white Americans. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the word nigger, they just used it all the time, just like it was just at. Yeah. You know, what are you supporting those niggers for and all that? You know, it was just awful.
Yeah.
But it was raw and it was open.
Right.
So you just had the cameras rolling
uncensored, just. Yep.
And some actually had a few sort of Trumpers come out, and one of them actually had a good conversation,
mm-hmm.
and and said that gave him bits of hope.
Yeah.
That there was, you know, but others.
Few and far between, yeah, aren't they?
But also holding gun, right to carry, open carry licenses, and they were religious, of course. What Christian holding a gun.
And religion.
Baptist?
Yeah. Who knows?
I recommend it.
It was no answer. It really just highlighted the gap. But what you do see, I did see, is he did interview some African Americans, but most of them were too. How would you put it?
Intimidating.
They're living in the deep south. You don't walk around there. You scuttle around the edges if you're black.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be real. It's not much fun being a black person in some of those heavily dominated white areas.
Yeah.
So some of them talked to him and all that, but they said, if I'd done what you did, I'd be killed. You know, and that was one woman said. You know, he got away with some of it because he was white. You imagine if that had been a black man.
Oh, he would have been lynched.
Did he say which states he went through?
I did. It said all the different states he went
from
through.
West to
1,500 miles.
You said east to west.
He ended up in Washington, so he must have come over from California or somewhere like that. Well, down that way, wouldn't he been?
Well, Washington State, there's Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
He must have gone to D.C., didn't he?
Must have.
So he must have come from California. Yeah.
But a very good bit of...
must have got good coverage, though.
Yeah, and I say it was very good. If you want to know... You think, oh, surely all Americans aren't like this. It was pretty scary.
I don't think so. Yeah. You see some of the people who attend the rallies, that supported Trump pre-election. Nutcase jobs. Jeez.
And there's nutcases on the other side as well, don't you?
Definitely.
They just love their guns.
It wasn't eye opening. I always thought that, but it was still seen in real life. It was like
confirmed.
Oh my god! And often they go, let's just run, because they were being threatened by
run.
And he said, I don't have a gun, but I'm going to get my gun. This is just
such hatred.
Some of those states are quite bad. They were bad during the Civil War. Arkansas, Missouri, those are the places here.
Well, and it's just
it's hard to fathom such hatred, though.
Well, it's the a lot of them would say, oh, no, and these were the white guys, and they say, well, we don't hate the blacks, and they just need to know their place, sort of thing. There was sort of that sort of, it's just racism, basically, supremacy.
They come from poor white
America. And they were poor whites,
ignorant of the true facts.
They're white trash, basically. Yeah. That's what they call them.
Well, you've got problems is because of those black people.
Yeah. Well, and don't forget, that's where Hillary Clinton got into trouble, because she called them deplorables, they call this, uneducated white Americans. And so she lost her election against Trump for that, because there was a grand swell. But it's just brought up by it's probably a combination of things. It's culture, history. Lack of education,
economic.
Who you get your advice from? If you go to church on the weekend and the minister's spouting something, that's all comes into it. Not just America, everywhere.
We know that.
It's like you go to a hall, the stockyards on sale day at a farmer's area. They all talk together or whatever. That's their world. That's their normal. If you go into somewhere else in a city, that's their normal.
Got that snide sort of look.
Bigoted.
So it's that unwillingness or the inability to have an open mind and go, hang on, what's this about?
But see, the hate, I think it's because they also fear them.
I think that, of course it is.
Because hate is derived from fear.
Yeah.
So these ignorant people fear minorities.
Yep.
For economic, social reasons.
You're right there, Mick.
Well, that's what one of these black women, Negro women, African Americans said. She said America's just built on this supremacy of just that they just don't tolerate minorities.
And it's
the same here. What's the Mary bashing about? Just the fear of a minority?
You've got it in Europe, you've got it everywhere. It's not peculiar to America. But in the 21st century, we're still bickering like we did 1,000 years ago or longer.
Because what Rob Bliss highlighted and what you said it though, Mick, was around the fear part, especially when there were Afro-Americans.
Fear gets to a point.
Yeah,
then it becomes hate. And you fight back.
African Americans who served in the First World War and came back.
Mm.
There were a number of them were lynched afterwards because they were deemed to be uppity and needed to be put in their place.
African
Americans found the same World War II. It's a famous air squadron was made of African American pilots. African Americans wouldn't be able to use calculus to work navigate.
Yeah.
Anyway, they fought and they had very successful in their missions.
Yeah,
they were hailed as heroes. Came back, boom, back to segregation.
Yeah. Well, even in
all the heroism, all the fact that they've been cannon fodder.
Well, you're talking of the Second World War. There was lots of division in the American forces. The black people, the black soldiers were not in the same tables with them in lots of places and all that.
And some of those places had black soldiers but white officers.
Well, we had it here too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Didn't have black officers, you had white officers.
Well, a couple of my great-uncles were, had some Māori linkage, lineage, but they were basically Europeanised and they were the officers in the Pioneer battalion.
It happened for Maori. Thought if they went to war, like fighting what was called the white man's war, that things would be better for them.
They'd be acknowledged as
they weren't. They just got treated like trash.
Meanwhile, they come back and they weren't even given the same rations and that because Maori could look after themselves better.
Yeah. Well, but they didn't get the same pay.
I think they did.
Because the British Army had a terrible thing. They had a reputation like the Gurkhas. Gurkhas got paid less.
And the Aboriginals and all that. Yeah.
Less than their European counterparts.
Yeah, I think they did get the same pay, but they certainly...
The Gurkhas didn't and the Kenyans
didn't. No, they didn't. And all of their Australian Aboriginals.
Yeah. Some of them didn't have weapons either. There was an interesting comment
on... You think America would just tear itself apart, wouldn't you?
Going back to New Zealand, there was an interesting comment made by someone that I knew... And I think he was speaking about his father or his grandfather wanting to go off to the Second World War. And his father had said, you're not fighting in that white man's war.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it.
Well, the Waikato Māori didn't want to do it because they lost...
And he was from here,
They just didn't want to be part of it because of loss of land, et cetera.
But some of them did go because...
How were they treated when they refused to go?
Well, I'm not too sure.
Were they just ignored or...?
I think they were ignored because I think it came from... Who was the...
Princess Tapuia.
Princess Tapuia sort of said, no, we're not going, So it was just a protest, I think.
But they might have been treated like conscientious objectors who didn't...
Well, they could have been in the First World War. I'm not sure. I think First World War conscription or voluntary?
There was conscription in the First
World War. It was voluntary, then it became conscription, but they realised that the attrition rate was going up.
Yeah, conscription later on in the First World War here. Because Archibald Baxter, James K. Baxter's
father. Yeah, I suddenly realised the number of men going weren't coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But can I, just the only positive I saw about the whole thing about this white man walking was basically he had one thing in his advantage. Most of the people who were hateful to him, etc., were all chubby, and he was slim so he could run.
Right, that's a break, eh?
So it's a wonder he didn't get run over by the traffic because the roads, there wasn't much verge to walk on or anything else. But
So he dodged all the boss holes.
The more I hear about the place, the more certain I am I don't want to go there.
Well, you'd be right because you're white.
I would feel really uncomfortable. I mean, I certainly wouldn't be able to talk about this like we do here on the radio here in America.
No. You wouldn't be able to talk about this in Matamata probably in a lot of places. About racism. A lot of people don't want to go there,
That's
speaking of, can we just go back to New Zealand?
Yeah.
The Papatoetae. Remember we talked a bit about there was alleged skullduggery.
Oh, the voting.
Yeah. The voting for the local elections.
Yeah.
And the judge ruled that they had to have another election.
Yeah.
And that's kicking off.
Sometime next month, isn't it?
Yeah, so that's kicking off. Like they got 20 again. I think they've just closed the candidate list.
Because we talked about, I think the judge, it's going to be on February or March. It has to be held.
Yeah, I think it's declared in April, the results.
Yeah.
They've got a little while. So that'll be interesting.
It'll be interesting to see the result, won't it?
Will be, because the same guys...
Same candidates putting themselves forward?
Yeah, so it will be interesting.
Mm.
So, they will have something...
As long as everything's squeaky clean and all the T's are crossed and I's are dotted... Fine, that's the result.
Well, there'll be a lot more focus on it, so I think there will be...
So there'll be more scrutiny.
It'll be more squeakier.
Mm. Well, it's best.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're undermining the system.
Yeah.
That's good news, though.
That is good news, yeah.
What else you got, Craig?
That was all I had.
Oh, okay.
Covered a lot.
Just think of...
Well, you've got a page over to that.
We've
covered all that.
What do you got, Mick? Well, I'll ask you, I think I asked you guys before we came on air, how do you think the current 111 and 105 emergency, non-emergency helpline, how old is it?
Yep, we know the answer. So
yes. It's 1958 model.
Yeah.
And so it says that scrutiny... This is in Thursday's Times. Yeah, scrutiny has come again on the 111 emergency call system, which still runs on an operating model set up in 1958. Mm. Australasian Public Safety Working Group linked to police say the old and fragmented system hinders emergency responders. Agencies such as New Zealand Police and Fire and Emergency, otherwise known as FENS, have been calling for an overhaul for at least 4 years. A report from the National Emergency Communications Working Group of Australia and New Zealand lays out a raft of ongoing shortcomings, both from day-to-day running procedures and when faced with a broad or intense disaster. Experts are warning that these, like Cyclone Gabrielle or the Mauao, is that the one, recent one? Emergency incidents often require coordination between multiple agencies and placing significant pressure on the existing 111 system. Which seems, well, this is called McMahon. It's 1958.
Yeah, is that when that, when did automatic telephone services come
in? Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Because my auntie was a top. My two aunties were telephone.
I can remember using
operators.
The old-fashioned cords. Yeah. The telephone exchange in 1974.
Okay. Well, that's because okay.
So it must have been after that.
Must have been around there.
Late '70s, early '80s.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because
anyway, the system.
They're just saying it's just creaking.
It's creaking.
Yeah.
And the biggest belief that something that we all rely on from time to time.
Could crash.
Well, it's just that things could be delayed. Delay in allocation resources, personnel. Mm.
It's an infrastructure.
Goes on and on.
It's an infrastructure.
It's infrastructure.
And we've been rather dilly-dally with that.
Well, and also we're going to have, the reality is, different languages, etc. Ability to understand.
It's a further complication.
Of course it is. You know, you're trying to get through to someone on the phone and they
English is not good.
Their first language, you know, and if you don't have that.
Or the equipment is letting you down, but you can't, cut off doesn't work. It doesn't bode well.
So are they actually going to do something or are they just talking about it?
They're talking about it.
Okay.
Well, but the Australasian body that covers these emergencies has been lobbying for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Needs overhaul.
And going back to when you said it came in, what was the population in New Zealand then?
I think we
under 3 million.
About 3 million, was it?
Yeah, probably under it when it first came in. So now it's 5.5 million and growing.
Well, I came here in 74, it was 3.5.
Okay. Yeah.
The population here.
Yeah, that'd be right.
You're probably just under...
Around three.
Yeah, they just think in terms of the Auckland Harbour Bridge being built in 59.
Speaking of Auckland Harbour Bridge,
we had a bit
of a standoff going between the police and Destiny Church today.
Destiny Church, as I call them.
Yeah, which will be
of course something else.
Yes.
So that'll be interesting because
and what's the beef about?
Well, the beef the Destiny want to walk across the bridge, the police said.
Oh, they're claiming foul. They
don't want them to. You let
the other lot walk.
Yeah, there's that.
But that didn't happen, though.
No, and that was the comments. On YouTube, I think it was the Herald and stuff, they had allowed comments or whatever, and people said, but you let the Palestinian protest walk across, and that had lots of support. Well, actually...
It never happened.
Bad weather.
And that's to me, the real issue is... The dumbing down. We've got all these people thinking it happened. They should. And whoever puts up that post should have actually put in there as an editorial comment.
Yes,
actually, they didn't. Sorry to let you know, because it's a falsehood. You know, they didn't go across.
Because of the wind.
They had a hikoi across it. a couple of years ago, was it now?
Was it? Yeah.
And I'm not saying you shouldn't be able to walk across the bridge and you should apply, but it also has to be put into, what do you call it, how many and how often.
And all that sort of stuff.
Because that walking action puts pressure on the bridge.
Well, that's what they're using, which
apparently,
and I'm not quite sure if that's also used as an excuse.
When you consider the volume of traffic that goes over that bridge every day.
Yeah.
And the weight.
Walking has a different motion.
I suppose, yeah.
It should have been designed. You would think it'd be all right.
It was designed all those years ago, eh?
And they Sydney had a big march across the bridge. Mm. And let's face it.
That's an older bridge,
if
too.
If the Palestinian one had been allowed to go across, they would have had hundreds of thousands of people. Mm-hmm. It was just the weather.
And as you say, the walking, that motion of the pounding of feet could build up momentum.
But it should actually really, the issue to me should be just, okay, what's, can we do this safely? How big an impediment, but also the right to protest? Because as much as, I don't totally agree with Destiny's Church thing on racism and fascism and all that, we still have a right to protest.
We have
still
But they preach hate. Mm. Unfortunately, and those who preach hate also bring up the people.
Lack of tolerance to others. Or lack of acceptance to others.
In a way, I'm kind of glad because I know where they are. If they're out in the open.
If
you suppress those organisations, you've got trouble because you just
They had that problem in England during the 1930s when they allowed a Mosley crowd to march.
Yes.
And he ran up against anti-fascists.
Yeah.
And they were chased out of town. So,
So, but at the same day, there's also it's not exactly a Palestinian support that group. It's about can't remember what it is. It's Toitute Whenua. It's sort of a coming together, a peace march, peace rather than hate sort of thing, and happening in Queen Street today too. Well, so that'll be interesting.
But the point of the article you're saying is that it should be even-handedly treated.
Accurately
treated.
What'll happen though? Because the police said no, they're not doing it. They haven't they haven't given permission. So that'll be interesting. No doubt. See, this is where the media come in. They'll be quite keen on showing it all.
Of course, it sells newsprint.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because they didn't.
And even in the right wing. I don't think a lot of National Party voters have a lot of time for what's his name, Mr. Tamaki,
Oscar Tamaki,
self-titled
bishop, whatever it is.
It'll be interesting. Yeah,
probably
it could fizzle, of course. In the end, they could just last minute. But see, that all diverts police resources, etc.
Resources, money,
and time.
Time.
Yeah. Oh, you got a couple of minutes.
A quick one there. PM stands by scrapping the $6 billion resilience fund. This is what Labor introduced.
Oh, yeah, that's the climate initiative.
We're dealing with emergencies, floods, fires, all that sort of thing. He wants to put that back into the general coffers, and these issues will be treated under normal budgetary procedures.
Which would mean that money will get channelled somewhere else.
Yes, exactly.
So this
comes two, 3 days after the tragedy in Mount Maunganui.
Mount Maunganui,
And other places.
Of course. Okay, that's us. Okay. We're out of here.
See you next month.
And you'll catch us either on www.freefm.org.nz or catch us on our podcast.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.